can't let our guard down. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, the reason we can't let our guard down, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We need to know that Satan is out there. He is around us. He is among us probably today. And he continues to seek to whom he may devour. And he's looking for that weakness in us, just like the lion looks for the weakness in other prey as well. And to help us in doing so, over in, of course, Ephesians 6, there it talks about Ephesians 6, they're talking about the whole armor of God. There in 6:13, we'll read through this. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in spirit, be watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And we see here the different aspects of armor that God offers up. And he says if we put these on, we will be able to withstand anything the devil has out there. And when we think about the fire, a male lion, after he takes over a prey, just say he's run, he's come in, and he's run off, or he's killed the main one, he goes on and kills the baby cubs that would be there. And why does he do this? Because he wants his own lineage to be in place. And also, if he kills them off, that'll bring the females back into heat, usually if they're young. As he gets rid of the young. And as Christians, we're in a sense young lions as well. And we're not Satan's children. The Bible tells us that over in 1 John 3:10. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. The ones that we know here, the devil, as the male over his pride, is determined to kill off just as the devil is taking part of the lion. He wants to kill off everyone that's not of his. And he wants to get rid of us, each one of us. He wants us to quit following God and start following him. And so when I think we hit on this at one time, when young males in a pride reached out or reach around 2 years old of age, the pride leader will run them off, and so they got to go out, as we talked about, and find their new territory. They don't want the competition. And that's the reason they choose to get rid of them when they're younger. And we know it'll be easier for them to take over the whole pride. But sometimes lions in their own pride, they'll kill their own offspring because they just won't leave. They just won't leave. You know, like the eagles that we talked about, the eagles, the parents want them to fly so bad, and they want to push them out of the nest. And I don't know if I put this in there or not on the eagle. Of course, the eagle's nest, when they built it, it was real, real rugged at first, where they had all the major sticks and all entwined in it. And then they would put, you know, like grasses and leaves and stuff to make it a lot softer for the babies. But then the eagles, if these young ones wouldn't take off and leave to make it rougher on them, they would clean out all that clean stuff. And when they'd come back in there or try to stay in the nest too long, these things would poke them and bring blood to them. And that was a way that they could use it. It seems sort of harsh, you know, using it on your offspring, but that's what they would do to try to get rid of it. And as the lions, and I know, I think I brought up the baby rabbits. Sometimes if you bring in a buck into the fold, if he becomes over your, hatch of rabbits, sometimes he'll try to keep, if a doe's got little ones, this new buck, he'll go in there and try to kill her. So he can mate with her again, just like the lions do. So Satan, as the god of this world, wants to kill humans physically. He wants to assure that one thing we're after that should mean the most of us is salvation. He wants to make sure we don't achieve that. And that's what he's after. As we think about devour, also a hungry lion can devour an antelope. An antelope weighs around 50 pounds. And he can devour that whole thing in about 45 minutes. It's been known that they've been able to eat the whole head, and of course the guts and the spine and all of that. And that shows how powerful they are. And like I said, their kill rate is low anyway, like 10-15%. So, and then there was another category they talked about, like being man-eaters. But a man-eater would be more like ones that not only they don't have no fear of man, they come into, you know, tribes over there, and they sneak in and they look for kids and other members of a household, and they would come in and just go in and kill them and take them away with them, because their fear of man is not even there, even though they are killers. But then there's certain ones that they just have no regard. They just go after them any way they can. We need to make sure that Satan is not sharing us the pieces as well. We're to not give him no opportunity, no excuse. A lot of times we'll open ourselves up to things when we shouldn't be opening ourselves up to them. If you get into an argument with someone, well, argument, you know, it can continue to escalate. And most of the times the argument is over things that don't even matter. After you think about it, after you've had an argument or something, if you'd have went ahead and talked it out or something first, then it probably wouldn't have happened. But it's all about, just like the Lion's Pride, you're wanting to be right. You want to have things your way. And that's like a lot of people that, you can say they're not going to go to church today. They're going to serve God in the way they want to do it because they want it their way. But now, as we turn our attention, lions are seeking. They seek and find the weak and the sickly. And as we talked about it, the weakness. If each one of us has a different weakness, you also know we talked about the other day that Satan will find our weakness. And that's what he'll use against us. He's not going to use a weakness from like Steve on me or something that one of y'all might be weak in. He's not going to use that same me on that weakness of yours. He wants the weakness that he knows he can get to me with. And if you're confronted by a lion, and they say this about a bear as well. I've never encountered a bear out in the wild. They say if you do, though, you're supposed to get down and pretend like you're dead. And now, of course, if a bear is pretty far off, I'm going to take my chances on getting away from it. But like I talked about the other night, the speed of the lion, you might not be able to do much. As we're getting rain, you better be pretty fast at climbing a tree or something if there's some around. But as you can tell, there's not much out there that you might get a hold. But if you run from something, you activate it. You activate that hunting instinct in the lion even more. That's going to cause him to go into that hunting instinct. Just like you've always heard, and I don't know if it's always been a myth or something like it. And I know bullfighters use, the flags. Like a red flag or a cape when they fight bulls, and those bulls will come after them. And of course, many times I've been out in the pasture with bulls and stuff, and you always think, don't wear a red around a bull because they're going to come after. Now, I'm going to tell you, they're going to come after you if they want to come after you. We was out coon hunting one night, and it sounded like it was not only the bulls, it's the whole herd. And we had those dogs out there, and they got after the dog. So what did the dogs do? They run to us. And we was running to the fences, is all I remember. And those cattle was after us. And their hooves and all sounded like thunder coming across that field. So many of them. But everybody made it over the fences and all, and we didn't get to charge or gore or anything like that night. And so, and it says when you are confronted with a lion, it says just stand your ground. Because they say sometimes they'll use a mock charge on you, sort of like just to intimidate you. I remember, I don't know if y'all remember a guy, you might have heard of him. He's a big time, he used to be big in bear hunting, a guy named Jim Shockey. And he sales hunts up in Canada. And so Jim, he got into going over to Africa and hunting these big game animals. And he was on this safari once, and there was this hippo, and it looked like it grazed way on up, and that hippo, it just cut through like it was just like butter, a hot knife going through butter. He was just coming after him. And this guy, I didn't know who he was. He was this guy, and he just reaches down, and he's not worried about anything. It didn't seem like. He just reaches down, and he pulls his gun up and just puts it on him. And I mean, he keeps coming. He keeps coming. And he gets about, I don't know, 4 or 5 foot from the truck. And when he does, he kills him. He never flinches. And Jim Shockey, you know, he's back here sort of like this right here, because he wasn't aware of the danger that he could have been. And they were in a vehicle. They were standing up on this vehicle, and that hippo came out. Of course, now hippo, if you don't know it, they kill a lot of people in their habitat if you get in the confines of them.
Thomas.
Yeah.
You know, hearing you describe the defense and danger that you may be in, you know, with confronting a lion, it's again, it's striking to me how Satan was described like a lion, but then also Jesus was as well. And it just reminds you that the way you fight a lion is with a lion. And in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, we're familiar with verse 2, because this is the verse that was used when the wise men came looking for Jesus, and the scribes, you know, they quoted Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting." And so he's saying, though his people were little and small, shall come forth from them the ruler. And the way he goes on to describe what this ruler will do for him and his little people, he goes on to describe in verse 7, "Then the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass, that tarry for no man, nor wait for the sons of men." And so, again, showing the weakness for the people. But he goes on to say this in verse 8, "And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, like a lion among the beasts of the forest, like a young lion among flocks of sheep, who, if he passes through, both treads down and tears in pieces, and none can deliver. Your hand shall be lifted against your adversaries, and all your enemies shall be cut off." And so though they were little, though they were like this remnant, they were like dew among the grasses, because the Messiah would be with them, he would be their lion. He would deliver them And the enemies didn't stand a chance. So the way they would fight against the lion of Satan was with the lion of Judah, Jesus, and he would devour.
Just like the children, when they went across over into the land of Canaan, God had told them, he said, don't worry about these other nations, I'll take care of them.
Right, right.
And they were scared because they were mighty. The nations themselves were mighty. They was worried about the giants and all of that. But he said, don't worry about that, I'll take care of them.
Right, right.
Thank you for your time. Anyone else? All right. At a full charge, can take place in an area from anywhere from about 25 to 70 yards. And the lion here, he can cover that in a blink of an eye. And I was telling Steve this morning, the hyena, of course, he's not as fast as this cat is. But how they kill their prey in the packs, they can run up to 2 miles at a certain speed. So in doing so, what they're doing, they're going to wire their prey down real slowly. They're going to lose the prey that they're after is going to give out way before they do. And that's what the devil works on too. If he finds your weakness, he's going to just keep coming. If you're going to keep coming. And he's going to try to wear you down and get you to give in. And but although most of their speed, because they do rest a lot during the day because they're more active in the nighttime. I was reading there was a lion that was enclosed in this large enclosure. And when I'm talking about large, like they say it's about 100 acres in a diameter. And it's surrounded by the certain high tensile electric fence. And it supposedly would put out like 9,000 volts when they had hit it. And that's the standard, it says, for dangerous animals. If you've ever seen any, I don't believe I've seen any down around the zoo down there in Nashville. I mean, it could be strands of fence down there that you don't notice much, you're just not paying attention to, but I'd say it's more like a compound thing. And there was this one female lion, a lioness, she saw this kudu on the outside of the fence, and her instincts took over, and they said she charged through the fence and went and attacked and killed this kudu. And but later on, she was eventually captured. They darted her and returned her to the compound. But now think about that. Not only did she overcome all the fence that she had to come, all the electricity that you figure that would have deterred her in some way from going after this kudu, not only the fence itself being there, but then she would have hit it. And then she still had the drive instinct to go ahead and kill that kudu. And kudus are pretty good sized animals as well. At one of the pictures, when we was doing on the antelope, you could see, I believe it was a kudu in that. And they're a lot bigger than an antelope. And their horn size is massive. as well. So as Christians, we need to stand firm when under direct attack from the devil. When we are tempted, there might have been a time in your life when you might be tempted to do something, and it run through your mind, well, if I do this, you know, I'm putting myself on a plane that I'm gonna get in trouble. And, you know, installed from our parents from a young age, you know, that we're not to take anything that's not ours. Or, and if you get caught doing something when you're younger, you know, you might think, well, if I tell them this, I might get by with it. And so you might think about turning the line. But eventually, most of the time, at those times, you get called out. Usually, we don't try to think of these things unless we're in trouble. You know, just as we might think about when we're tempted to steal, we're tempted to lie. And nowadays, you know, adultery, that's rampant in our society today. You know, the oath of marriage is not much anymore. So Satan, you know, he's going to continue to try to crash our fence, just like that female lion. And the only thing that can deliver us from these things is God. And his son, that's the only things that can deliver us from these things. Let's look over in Hebrews 11.
Child of God, and now he's using it to
better the kingdom. And his he said he can tell you some things, you know, that happened in his life that you'd never think about doing on your own. But so, and we talked about earlier, when under attack from Satan, we can't lose control of our emotions, just like we talked about, you know, in an argument or something. But we need to overcome adversity in our lives. Anytime we're confronted by something, we need to overcome that with strength. Over in, let's look at Psalms. Psalms 24 and verse 10. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So we need to know who's in charge and gain strength from God at times of weakness. And we talked about putting on the whole armor of God, which was there in Ephesians 6. And at times, a lion, they are known as the king, and it's been known that they will go up against many foes at one time. If they have to, they might not want to at times, but it, sometimes when we're backed into a corner in our lives, sometimes the only way out is you got to come out fighting. And there was a pack of hyenas just come passing through, and this lion just charged into them. And he started killing a lot of them just by himself. And and they've been known also to charge full-grown elephants before. And something that is more than 30 times their size, I have no doubt that they could kill a young baby elephant, because of the size of it. But if you think about a large male elephant, you seem like there's no way that they could take that down. But in the animal world, you know, various things happen. We can't explain everything that goes on around us at times. As boldness goes, a lion has 100% boldness. There's no backing down in a lion when they're confronted as they hunt. They're not going to be deterred. If they go after something with intent on taking it down, and they're going to do it. Except, like I told you about their kill rate's probably higher with a better vegetation. But if they're within so many yards, if they get into just like the cheetah that relies on its speed, it's going to try to run down these things. And most of the time, it's going to overcome. But now you think of a pack animal here in the United States. You know, at one time, they were going to introduce wild wolves to this area around here. I may be wrong on this, but I think it's that land between the lakes. They was going to introduce wild wolves, letting some of them loose. And they thought that the coyote population was getting too big around here. And these wolves, of course, not only that, coyotes that kill red foxes. And I don't know if any of y'all remember gray foxes much, but a gray fox is something that you don't see much around anymore. Sometimes a gray fox, I remember we was rabbit hunting one day, and the rabbit seemed like, I didn't even know about a swamp rabbit back then, but this rabbit seemed like he was getting around, and the weeds was so high, these boys, they was carrying these white 5 gallon buckets. And you think about this, you're talking about bad position. Now you think, you got a 5 gallon bucket turned upside down, and you're standing on it with a shotgun. And you're talking about a bad decision. That's some of them we made when we was back younger. That's one I made. And I wasn't thinking nothing about it because it's going to put me on the air so I get shot at the rabbit. But anyway, it wasn't a rabbit. It was a gray fox that come by. And you just don't see a gray fox anymore. And I was coming back yesterday, back toward the house, and up, I think it was TJ's uncle's land back there. There was a coyote standing right there in the field, just looking around. And he just, you know, you talking about not eating well, if you've seen them at times, you know, you think they're poor. But, the fox, and as we was talking about the wolves, they thought about bringing them in here, but you talking about something that's dangerous that will come after you. Those wolves will come after you, and they don't come after you much at once. The whole pack hunts together, and if you've ever been out at night around here, you can hear coyotes hollering, especially if you live out toward the country. If you had a little old siren, and a lot of guys, they'll buy these little handheld sirens, and they'll send them off in the woods, and they'll let them know if coyotes is in there, if they're going to hunt after them, because them coyotes will start howling if they hear that siren. You won't have to make any calls. And then when you locate them, then they come in too. Or not the siren, but they'll come in to your calls because they know you're there. And you can do something like, if you see a coyote back from here to the street down there, if you just go like that, he'll think it's a rodent. And a mouse or rat or something that's being caught, and he's going to come in there and investigate to see what it is. And I mean, they'll come right up in on you trying to find out. And then you take them out with a shotgun or something like that. But I'm sort of glad that they didn't institute wild wolves. You know, in this country we live in, or especially this state, and they decided not to for some reason, and I'm sort of glad they didn't. The lions, they say, can sleep up to, like, sick after a hunt, they can sleep up, or kill, they can sleep up for like 16 to 20 hours after they've had their kill. And then, of course, they're resting up. And then they're ready. That's how they go. Every day it's just like us. We got to go to work every day. And you just continue to do it because you have to do it. Not only for yourself, but for your family and others as well that you might want to help. And the Bible talks about, you know, we got to work. and to provide. And with him, what he does every day, you know, if his kill rates, if he's killing 3 out of 10 hunts, that's not real good. There's going to be a lot of hungry nights that he'll go through. But when he does kill, he'll take rest and dress himself up and get ready for the next hunt. And he's out there consistently. If we think about expanding, our territory as Christians, over in, let's look at 1 Corinthians. I believe it's 1:1. Paul was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sophonus, our brother. So Paul, God saw in him the desire to want the instinct that he had to work against the Christians. And then he said, well, I'm going to use him. I'm going to make him my chosen vessel. So he'll have that zeal and the love for me and the hard work that it takes to develop into a better Christian and use his boldness for my work as well. And does anybody have anything before we close this morning?
Just the proverb writer says the righteous are as bold as a lion. And then also it talked about how that the lion doesn't back down from any. And so those are qualities that we should try to work on ourselves.
Yeah, to grow. We need to grow. Some things we might, like speaking or teaching, that's hard enough. There's some that make it look easy and some that don't. But the only way you get better at something is you got to do it and continue to try to do it. Wednesday night, we'll be into the dogs and we'll look at